Please be seated. So as most of you know, I consider that spot up there to be equivalent to the gallows. So I'm experimenting this morning. I'm going to come down here and talk where I feel a lot more comfortable and I feel like one of you. Oh, those disciples, those silly disciples. A month ago, I stood here and Jesus said almost exactly the same thing to them. Three chapters ago. Those of you who want to be first must be last, and those of you who want to be or who are last are be the servants of all. And you know, three chapters later and a month later, they still don't get it. They're still sitting there arguing with each other about who's more important. So it is in our life. We have spent generations trying to learn things about one another and trying to better ourselves and learn from our mistakes and learn from our past and learn from the bad things that have happened to us. And still, in the 21st century, in 2018, we do it to one another. I'm sure most of you have heard or read the story last week in the news of the First Nations family in St. Albert, Alberta, who received a threatening letter at their condo saying, "This is not a reservation, get out of here. You don't belong here," and threatening the family. Now, the good that came out of that clearly was the massive amount of support that these people received from not only the condo community, but the St. Albert community, the province of Edmonton, or the city of Edmonton, the province of Alberta, even our country. People rallied and said, "This can't be." But what many people don't understand is that that's all it takes is that one individual to turn on you and something is ignited in you. Fear comes, panic comes, uncertainty comes. We can't just sit by and say, "That's too bad. Too bad that that happened to them. We feel awful about those poor people." We have to act on injustice. All around us in the political world, we are seeing the rise of the alt-right. Now, 20 years ago, we might have said, well, the alt-right was a fringe political ideology that really doesn't mean anything to me, and they're just a bunch of weirdos who have a weird view of life. But unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, it's on the rise. We don't need to look very far away from us, just across the strait, down south. We see it going on. We see things like fake news. Well, I mean, when you stand up in front of the cameras on and you say something, then you turn around and say that you didn't say that. I don't know. I know that they're really good at doing things with newsreels and photoshopping, but there's a point where, come on, you said it. In Europe, in Sweden, when the rise of the party there, that was the white supremacist party, that's a serious, serious problem. And we're repeating these actions over and over again, and we don't seem to be learning from the history. What must come to an end is any sort of passive sitting by and saying, "Well, there's nothing I can do about that." There was a meme that went around Facebook a while ago that said, "If you are silent in injustice and not calling these things out, then you are siding with the oppressor." It's not good enough to sit back and say, "Well, oh, isn't that terrible?" We have to act. We have to go out and we have to say, "No, we do not tolerate this in our society at all." I can safely say I did not have the last month has not been the best month of my life. And part of that, there's an anxiety building in me again about the marriage canon and the upcoming General Synod. And for all of being surrounded by the love and compassion and caring that I have in my own community, I know what it feels like. And I know that all it takes is that one voice to turn to you and say, "There's something wrong with you. You don't belong. You don't fit in. Go away." And all of that anxiety comes out again. And most of my friends can tell you this week, I took it out on a lot of my friends this week. I was not in a very good headspace. I was feeling the anxiety. I was feeling like, what am I going to say on the day after General Synod if the vote doesn't go the way I hope it does? What am I going to say to my friends? What am I going to say to my congregation? What am I going to say to myself? How am I going to get through this another day? So it's out there and it's real, and I appreciate the love and support, and make no mistake, I'm fortunate, I thank God every day that I'm in this parish. But I do think about what it was like when Barry and I went to Nova Scotia in May last year, and I don't know if I mentioned this, I may have, but I went on the internet on Saturday morning and I thought, I'll look for a place for us to go to church on Sunday. Thought that would be a fairly easy operation until I started surfing the church parish's websites. And some of them were very, devious in the way that they hid their feelings about the marriage canon until you clicked on the tab that said marriage. Then up in front of me came the very stern Book of Common Prayer view of what marriage was in the church. And I thought, okay, well, Barry and I can't go there. And the reason I say that is because Barry and I tend not to, he's sitting here this morning, I better be careful what I say. Barry's a PDA person. Public display of affection doesn't bother him at all, whereas I'm a little more, geez, I don't want everybody looking at me. But so we couldn't walk into every church in Nova Scotia hand in hand and sit down and feel that somebody there isn't going to stare us down. That's how we felt. So I didn't go to church that Sunday. I could have driven 300 kilometers. One friend did say, we can come up to my parish. Well, I don't make a 300 kilometer drive on Sunday morning just to go to church. God will forgive me this one time. But the point I'm making here is that you can surround the world with love and love and love, and all it takes is that one voice. That one voice in the alt-right to tell you that there's something wrong with people who are of a different origin, that people that are coming into our country are bad because of their homeland, that people who are of a different gender or different sexual orientation are somehow miswired by God, and then all comes flooding back to you. And so the challenge is to keep up the fight, to keep saying, no, we will not put up with this, that these people who want to put themselves first among others are not going to win. Those who want to put themselves in a place of glory, they're not on our side. If they're doing it for the reasons that Jesus asks, and that is to be the servant of all, then wonderful. Yesterday, I had the honor to be at the cathedral for the Order of the Diocese of British Columbia. And while Alistair did mention Penny, she's up there hiding, Penny was our recipient from our parish, much, much pride in us sitting there saying, yay, Penny, let's go. But also some of the stories from that I found absolutely fascinating. And if you want to have a look at this later, this is the people that received the order. Peggy brought this morning, just in case anybody wants to see, the people in our diocese who received. But two that stood out to me was, one of them was a 100-year-old woman brought up to the front of the church to receive her order. I thought, 100 years old, all that life of service in our church since the 1950s, been giving herself to God and her church on this island. Isn't that a magnificent, magnificent testament to lay ministry in our church? Not ordained ministry, but lay ministry. People who want to be the servants of all. The other one that stood out to me was the lady who, when she was told she received the order, said, oh, well, so what do I have to do? Do I have to iron something? Do I have to... She thought that she actually had to do work to receive this order. It's like, no, you're being honored because you're actually already doing this work in the church. One of the honorary orders was given to the retired Roman Catholic Bishop, Remy de Roux. I don't know if many of you have heard of him. He's, from my old tradition, I may have stayed in the Catholic Church had Remy de Roux been the next pope. But he was one of those people that just believed so strongly that Christians had to be together. We're not a bunch of different people. Christian means Christian. We're all one group of people following Christ. And so he lived that in his entire time as bishop of this island. And that is a testament also to faith and to believing that the least of us is more important than the most of us. It was just, for me, it was a life-giving experience after a time of turmoil and trial in my life. And I want to say thank you to this community for continuing to be that support when we feel tense and when we feel the anxiety and when we feel like the church is closing down around us or isn't going to make the right decision in the next little while. It's always important that we remember we must go out and stand up and say, no, this can't happen. We believe that everybody is included in our faith. I believe that when we fling those doors open on Sunday morning, it's not to let ourselves in, but it's to tell the world that we are here, and all of you out there are one of us, and you are welcome here, you belong here, and we'd love to have you here. Amen.